Psalm in a chapter number 2. And as you're turning there in your bulletins this morning is a companion handout with the lesson. And I want to encourage you to grab that. Did we miss anyone with the bulletin this morning? You need one and need an outline for the lesson. We've got everybody. Song of Solomon, chapter number 2. And then the outline right there in your bulletin this morning. And I appreciate you being in attendance today and looking forward to our time together in God's Word. If you're new to our class this morning, let me give you a little bit of background and we'll kind of get right into it. We are in a series entitled, Too Committed, Experiencing and Enjoying Marriage God's Way. And we're striving every week to understand from the Word of God, how can we strengthen our homes and our marriages. We spent a couple weeks by way of introduction, kind of laying the groundwork out of Ephesians 5, where husbands are commanded to love their wives, and wives are commanded to reverence their husbands. That's God's way, all right? Then we spent several weeks learning, okay, how do we love, and how do we reverence? And kind of taking weeks as opportunities to learn how we can do this more effectively and practically. Today, we're going to study how to love and the idea of loyalty, knowing that she needs us to be committed. So men, the lesson today is emphasis for us. It's applicable to all, and it's certainly my prayer that it will help strengthen relationships in our class. Song of Solomon chapter number 2, and let's look together at verse number 10. The Bible says, "My beloved spake." Now, this is the Shulamite woman speaking of her husband. "My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." And I want to emphasize the possessive description, okay? Looking at verse number 10, "My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." This woman was convinced that she was her husband's and he was hers. There was an understanding of commitment and dedication in their relationship, and it provided a sure foundation for them to grow and to enhance the relationship that God had given to them. Now, men, as we have been challenged about how to love, we've looked at our wife needs us to be close. She needs you and I to be open, to be understanding and to grow in that regard, and to be peacemakers, to strive to work things out in our relationship so that there is no strife or discord or misunderstandings or things that we just want to put under the rug. And today we look at another element in showing our love to her, and that is this idea of loyalty. She needs to know that you and I are committed to her. Now, let me give you a scenario that happens in a lot of relationships, all right? And maybe this has happened in yours, but sometimes a wife who maybe is kind of seeking, where do I stand, or wanting some reassurances in their relationship, she might ask a question to her husband about something like, how much do you love me? Will you love me when I'm old? What if I'm an invalid, or what if I get Alzheimer's, or something like that? Are you going to love me? And the husband has two ways to answer this question. The first one, which is the wrong way, is to have a little bit of fun at her expense. And just kidding and just in jest, but maybe giving an answer like, well, what's the matter? Are you afraid I'm going to trade you in for a newer model? Or are you thinking I'm not going to keep you around or whatever? And they're laughing now, guys, but it's not funny to them, all right? I promise you, there would be no humor found in that, all right? And if we respond that way, Lord willing, we'll learn some things today that will help us know how to respond to those things. When your wife asks you the question, do you love me? She's not looking for information. She's looking for reassurance. When your wife asks you the question, do you love me? She's not looking for information. She's not wanting to be reminded of the same thing, per se. She's looking for reassurance. She wants to know where she stands in the condition of your heart. Is she loved by you? Now, the wiser question, the appropriate response, is something like, of course I love you, and I'm looking forward to growing old together, or, you know, this next however many years is going to be the best, or whatever the case may be. And you're wanting to reassure her. Now, if you answer that way, then she might follow it up with the dreaded question every husband hates is, well, then why do you love me? And, you know, in the middle of the desert all by ourselves, we could come up with a million reasons why we love her. But looking at her in the eye when the question is asked, we freeze, we get sweaty palms, it feels cold, and we're not quite sure what to do. If I hesitate, she's going to jump all over me because I should have known it like that. If I speak quick and I say the wrong thing, I'm dead. Because then I mention the one thing she doesn't even like. And I just feel like I can't win, you know, when that question comes. I just want to run for the hills, you know. And you're not really quite sure what to do. But she does want to know if you love her, and she does want to know why. Now, a wife must have reassurance. This is a need in her heart. And this morning, I want to strengthen every relationship represented, obviously. And men, I want you and I to be encouraged. And how can we improve in having loyalty to our wife and in showing that loyalty and commitment? How can we improve in that? Number one, I want us to look at this. Eliminate doubt. Eliminate doubt. We want to work at eliminating doubt. Now, many wives know that they are a one-man woman. They're committed. They're in lock, stock, and barrel. It's who they are. But they often wonder, is he a one-woman man? Is he committed? Is he committed to me? Where do I stand with him? Where does our relationship stand? Where are we at? And to be candid, fellas, your wife is insecure and she needs your assurance. Now, wives, I'm not being critical. But guys, you and I need to understand, this is, I would say fairly safely across the board, the way it is. Your wife is insecure, and she needs to know of your reassurance. That's not a criticism. It's just something you and I need to understand because we don't think that way. We don't rush home from work to find our wife and say, are we okay? Do you still love me? Is everything okay between you and I? We love our wife. We just don't think in those terms, okay? But she does, and we need to know it. Because it's our privilege, pleasure, and responsibility to make sure she knows she's loved. All is well. Man, we're doing great. And it's better now than it has ever been before. So we need to know this is a need in her heart that we committed to meet the day that we said, I do. So how can we help eliminate doubt and communicate loyalty and commitment to our wife? How do we eliminate doubt? Number or letter A, with our sight. With our sight. And guys, let me just be practical with us this morning. Have you ever thought about how difficult it is for your wife to be a wife in today's culture and society? We live in a very suggestive, sexually orientated culture and society. It's the swimsuit issue world, if you will. It's pornographic in so many ways. And you think about our culture, you think about our society, you think about some of the way things are and the way that they're just, you know, accepted to be. And men, you and I need to eliminate doubt in the heart of our bride with our eyes. We need to take the commitment that Job took. Look at Job 31 in verse number 1. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? For what portion of God is there from above, and what inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is not destruction to the wicked and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Job committed in his heart he was not going to look on another woman with a sexual longing. He was not going to look lustfully at another woman. Job said, I made a commitment with mine eyes. And he recognized, he knew the destruction and the punishment that would come to his own life and to his marriage and to his family if he went down that road. He knew the impact that it would have in a negative way if he allowed that to happen. And we too need to make that commitment as Job made. I'm going to make a covenant with mine eyes. Why? Why is that so important? Look what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Brother Earl, I would never step out of my wife. I would never be with someone else. I would never do something like that. Listen to me. God says, men, if you're doing it here, you've already done it. If you're looking at a woman lustfully, if you're desiring her sexually in your mind and in your heart, the Bible says that's adultery. That's stepping out. That's being a traitor to the commitment of the vow that you made with your wife when you said, I do. And so we want to eliminate doubt with our sight. We want to make a commitment like Job did with our eyes. Now, our society is rampant with these types of things and pornography and so on. Why? Why is it that way today? Hasn't sin always been sin? And it has been. But a couple of thoughts, and I think I gave these to you. Number one, pornography is rampant today because it's so accessible. It used to be you had to go to the wrong part of town, go into the store no one went into, go to the racks where everything was covered in the brown paper, and then get the smut. Now, anybody could get it on any device in about 10, 12 seconds. It's just so accessible. Sin has always been sin. Wickedness has always been wickedness, and it's always been viewed the same from God. But today in our society, it is more accessible than it has ever been before, which is all the more reason why we need to make the commitment to eliminate doubt with our eyes. It's more affordable than it's ever been. It's free in many cases, and it's very easy to access across the board. And it's anonymous. It's something that a lot of men can be involved in thinking nobody else knows. Now, men, number one, God knows everything. The Bible teaches you and I, the Lord, He beholdeth the good and the evil. God sees you out yesterday inviting people to church, and God sees you doing stuff you shouldn't do. God sees it all. And we're never alone. He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And we need to be reminded of that. And we need to be reminded that we made a commitment to our wife to be committed to her, and we need to eliminate doubt, and we need to eliminate doubt when it comes to our eyes. What are we looking at? You say, Brother Rule, I can't control what I see. That's true. You can't control what you see, but you can control what you look at, and you can control what you think about. Okay? So I cannot control what I see. By the way, you can insulate what you see. There may be just some places you don't go. There may be just some aisles you don't walk down. There may be some stores you don't walk by. There might just be some safeguards you develop in your life saying, hey, I can't control what I see, but I can control where I go. I can control the atmosphere and the environment that I'm in. And then if I do see something I should not see, I can control what I look at and what I think about. I can look at that and lust after it and spend time there in my mind, or I can divert and think of my commitment to my wife and the holiness that I want to have before my God. And so we want to make sure that we're committed to her. The Bible says in Proverbs 5:15, drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. A connotation there being faithful to your wife. And so learning from Job and his commitment with his eyes, with his commitment to his wife, and staying pure and staying holy. When a woman senses that her husband has a covenant with God and that he's trying to make the Lord of his life in every area, it brings a great security to their relationship that this is something that he is tenaciously working on. By the way, guys, if you're a red-blooded American male, it's something you're going to tenaciously have to work on forever. Okay? We live in a wicked society. We live in a society that just kind of accepts that everybody wants to look at everybody, sleep with everybody, enjoy everybody, and it's okay. And if we're going to live distinctly different as Christians, committed to our spouse, then it's something that we have to make a commitment to accomplish. And we made this commitment when we said, I do till death do us part. And we want to make sure that our love and our loyalty is committed to her wife, and it will energize her and your relationship in a great way. And so, men, I want to encourage you, eliminate doubt. Eliminate doubt with your sight. Just make a covenant before God with your eyes. I am not going to look on something. I'm not going to think about someone in a way that I should not. And communicate that to your wife. If you have internet access, have filtering. Brother Andrew Lipper and I were talking a few months back, but you can get K9 internet filtering. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. You can put it on any device you have, and you can have a password for it that you have half and your wife has half. So you can set up filtering for all of your devices, and nobody can change the settings without both of you being there. You say, Brother Rule, what are you doing? You're elevating accountability. How do you eliminate doubt? Elevating accountability. You want to not have any secrets? Shine a bright light on everything you do. Find the brightest light you can and shine it on everything you do. Let people know, this is what I'm doing. This is where I'm going. This is what I'm involved in. Man, you're making it sound like we're 4 years old and we've got a mother. No, we have a Satan. We have a wicked enemy who wants to destroy our lives and our relationships and our homes. And we want to make sure we're eliminating doubt by elevating accountability. It's a wise thing to do, and it will strengthen the relationships in your home. So eliminating doubt with your sight. Letter B, with our speech. With our speech. Now, men, we should never compare our wives with another woman. I hope that's common sense to most of us in this room. And if it's not, it's a revelation your wife is thrilled that you're learning today. We should never compare our wives with another woman. We shouldn't even tease that way. Why? Because there's, quite honestly, nothing good that's going to come out of that. And I don't have time to tell you all the bad that can come out of that. All right? It's just not wisdom. We should never be putting our wife down intentionally. We should not go after them about a sensitive subject. We know that this is kind of a sore subject, so we just poke at it, you know. That, guys, we want to eliminate doubt with our sight and with our speech. We want to be careful with how we communicate to our wife and what we're communicating to our wives. Okay? Let me flip the coin. Just follow me here for a second. Suppose your wife came home and said, "Did you see Dave Smith down the street there? I heard that he just got his third promotion. Well, my good friend Sarah works in his office, and she says that people stop at his desk all day long to get his counsel and his guidance. The word is that he's a real man's man. You know, he runs marathon and lifts weights at his health club. He's making excellent money and spends most of it on his wife and his children. When are you going to start working out and get in shape? When is your next raise coming? Because we sure could use some more money around here." Now, you say, "Brother Rule, that's kind of corny." And it may be, and no guy in this room wants to hear it. But listen, that's the flip side of that. Okay? As what that would do for us in the sense of not wanting to hear that, that's exactly how that stuff comes across to her. When we're talking about, did you see her? She lost some weight recently. Or whatever the case may be, whatever the illustration may be. That was when I came up with the top of my head. And so be careful with your speech. What are you doing? You're eliminating doubt. Hey, there should not be a negative word spoken from us to our spouse. Now, I've taught in His design, and we'll continue to teach it. There needs to be an environment in your relationship where you can work stuff out, where the husband can voice some concerns and the wife can voice some concerns and be genuine and sincere and kind and work some things out. I think you have to have that if you're going to have a healthy, balanced relationship. But I do not think there needs to be a condescending, a put down, a negative tone when it comes to your spouse. So elevate doubt in your speech. Speak highly and kindly to her. As I mentioned that, we mentioned this. The word divorce should never be spoken in your home. Ever. You say, "Well, why not?" Because you took that option off the table when you said, "I do." You made a vow before God, "Till death do us part." Now, God makes big vows. talks about better would it be to take a millstone, wrap around your foot, and jump into the ocean, and make a vow to God and not keep it? Vows are a big deal to God. When we say, I will, or I do, or I commit, or I vow, God hears. God listens. Record is made. And it should just be in our homes, we don't use the word divorce. Well, when we do it, we're just kind of joking. The Bible says in Matthew 12:34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Can I tell you something? I don't know of a context in your home where the word divorce being spoken is helpful. I don't know of it. It should not be in our vocabulary. We're in this thing till death do us part. Yeah, Brother Rule, but if you knew our relationship, if you knew what it was like, you would support it. No, I wouldn't. And I would tell you there is hope because there's God. Any marriage can thrive with God's help. Any marriage can be an enjoyable, wonderful experience with God's help. And many in this class are experiencing that. And maybe some are not. And my encouragement to you is not to quit, but to, with God's help, make it through. And in your relationship, eliminate doubt with your speech. We're just not going to utter the word divorce. It's not in our vocabulary. Remember, the Bible says of marriage about the Lord in Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable. God thinks marriage is awesome. And we should as well. Eliminate doubt, lastly, with our symbol. And I won't spend a lot of time here. The Bible talks in Song of Solomon about set as a seal upon thine heart and a seal upon thine arm, for love is as strong as the death. We taught a whole series off this with keeping the fire burning. But here's what I want to say. In Song of Solomon, when it mentions a seal upon thine arm, it's illustrating what the modern day wedding ring would be. And basically it was saying, when you saw that seal on someone's arm, you knew they're committed to someone. And men, I just want to encourage you, eliminate doubt with your sight, your speech, and your symbol. Wear your wedding ring. Now, you may not be able to do it for work or maybe a sports or something of this nature, but I want to encourage you, if you've got to take it off for work, put it back on when you're done. If you've got to take it off for sports, put it back on when you're done. If it doesn't fit anymore, go buy a new one. A wedding ring is a good symbol of loyalty and commitment. No good husband should ever leave the home without one. That's just a simple, practical, little thing. But it's a good thing to have. And I want to encourage you, eliminate doubt in that way. And then, what can we do? Secondly, elevate dedication. Elevate dedication. In Malachi, and I don't have the time to develop it, but God talks about his dismay with his people for their frivolous nature in getting a divorce. And God was like, don't deal so treacherously with your spouse. You should not just be getting a divorce so haphazardously. And God was challenging them to keep their vow. And we see in our culture today how rampant some of that is. I threw some statistics in here. Divorce rate 50%. In America, second marriage is 67%, third marriage is 74%. People think, I'm going to get divorced and get married, it's going to be better. No, statistics prove it's not. 10% of coupled households consist of unmarried partners. 63% of children grow up with both biological parents. Look at this, the lowest figure in the Western world. Here's America, founded on biblical liberty, still have spiritual liberty and so on. The lowest figure in the Western world, right here at home. 44% of custodial mothers, 57% of custodial fathers, separated or divorced. 8 million Americans paid approximately $40 billion in child or spousal support. It goes on and on and on. You say, Brother Rule, but we're Christians, we're different. Look at this paragraph from the George Barna Research Group. We rarely find substantial differences between the moral behavior of Christians and non-Christians. We would love to be able to report that Christians are living very distinct lives and impacting the community, but in the area of divorce rates, they continue to be the same. Oftentimes, the statistics that you would find are not much different than what you'd see in the world. And what a sad commentary that is, and what desire we should have to be different in our lives. So how can we elevate dedication? Quickly, fellas, letter A, assess your commitment. Look at your commitment today and say, is my commitment pleasing to the Lord? Am I as committed to my spouse as I should be? Is my commitment where God would have it? Assess your commitment. Ask yourself, am I committed? Am I loyal? Do I view my commitment and my vow the way God views it? assess your commitment. Where are you at in the area of loyalty and commitment? Secondly, affirm your commitment. Remind your wife of your never-ending commitment to her. This is so important. She needs to hear it. It feels weird at times to, you know, to talk with your wife and to look her in the eye and say, honey, I just want you to know that I love you. I'm committed to you. I'm more committed to you today than I've ever been before. You're the only one for me. But it's something she needs to hear often. Affirm your commitment in her heart. Speak highly of your wife to others. Build her up. Boy, people ought to know you're committed to her. Well, you know, we're going through this, that, and the other. Great. Talk to her about it. Talk to God about it. Get some counsel from someone if needed, but nobody else should know about it. Speak highly of her. If we had to ask five coworkers of yours this week what you think about your wife, how would they answer? What's the demeanor? What's the spirit? What's the water cooler talk? It ought to be, man, that guy's in love. He's committed to his wife. He thinks she's everything, whatever. Speak highly of her to others. Make her and your priority, or in your marriage, a priority. You're going to have to say no to some stuff to say yes to her and what needs to be done. Make it a priority and make sure she knows. Don't criticize your wife. We've talked about that already. And then lastly, fellas, advance your commitment. Advance your commitment. Guys, can I tell you something? You stood at marriage altar one day and you said, I do. And you say, Brother Rule, I was committed then and I'm committed now. Can I tell you something? Your commitment does not stay the same. It's either increasing or decreasing. It's either growing or it's dwindling. That's what happens. Okay? So I want to ask you today, is your commitment advancing? Is it growing? Is it moving forward? Are you more committed to her than you've ever been before? In your mind, with your speech, with the way you live, with the way you interact with her. And let's work this week at showing the love that God's commanded us to show our wives. And what a privilege it is to do it. And let's eliminate doubt. Boy, where could there be some doubt in her mind? Lord, help me to eliminate that this week. I don't want it to be there. And then help me to elevate dedication. Boy, what can I do to make my commitment known to her and to others? Man, I'm in. I'm all the way in, and it's awesome. And I want people to know that that's where my loyalty and my commitment is. Now, there's a section at the end of that. She is assured of your loyalty when? Some great practical ideas. And then, in every lesson outline, and I forgot to mention last week, and I'm going to say this and pray, and we're going to go. There's a homework assignment. All right? There's a little postcard, something for him to do this week, and something for her to do this week. And I want to encourage you, read that. Talk about it. Men, are you looking for a conversation starter on a date this week? Here's what I want to challenge you to do, all right? Take this right here at the end of your outline where it says she'll be assured of your loyalty. Number one, you speak highly of her in front of others. And here's what you ask. Honey, do I do that enough? Number two, you are involved in things important to her. Honey, am I involved in enough that's important to you? Number three, you help her make decisions, maybe regarding the children or whatever. Honey, do you feel like I help with enough of the decisions? Number four, you don't correct her in front of the children. Honey, do you feel like I do that? Now, that could turn into a long date. I don't know. But go through this and talk about it together, all right? How are we doing? And follow this, and may God help us strengthen our relationships this week. Dear Father, we love you. Thank you for a chance to be together today. We pray that you strengthen our homes, help us to communicate love and reverence, and may loyalty and commitment be a bedrock of every home represented here. We'll sure praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you. Thanks for being here today. You are dismissed.